Father God, God, make us more aware of your presence. Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know when you're moving us somewhere, when you're moving us in a direction. Holy Spirit, fill the atmosphere around us. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our direction to where you have us go. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Father. Know what it is to be consumed in your presence. Father, give us this wisdom to reach the lost for you. How to do it. God, give us the boldness to do that for you. God, give us the wisdom and boldness to step out in faith in all that you ask of us. Allow us to just start and follow your leading. In Jesus' name. God, we also pray right now for these little ones that are going to Sunday school. God, open their hearts and open their minds, Father, to what you have for them. God, as it's presented to them in a way that they understand. God, I pray that the overarching, overwhelming thought is that you love them. And they have value, and they're important. And I pray that you would give them boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. Thanks, guys. It's great. So the kids are free to go. I'm going to turn my volume off on my iPad so I don't forget and get beeped. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what's going on? And I lose my spot because that does happen. So, last week we talked about the family of God and the spiritual family of God. And then we talked about how we're part of a spiritual family. We also talked a bit about how our identity of who we are is rooted somehow in our family, in our background, and how we were raised. The way we believe, the way we behave, we talked about how I really think it's rooted into our family. And since families form identities, we talked about how does God do family? And there's implications on so many levels about that. We talked about how in John 1, 9 to 13, we saw how we can become part of God's family and how we can either choose to accept or reject God's Son, Jesus. And I can have access to be a part of God's family through Jesus, and Jesus is the only way to have that access. So the first point we talked about was God's desire to grow his family. In Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, we read, "Therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promises, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And I talked about how that verse 13 was the biggest but in the Bible. Because, "But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far, but now you've brought near." Because of what? The blood of Christ. Because of Jesus. And last week we also talked a bit about just trying to help you remember that day you crossed that line, that point in your life where you decided to cross the street, cross the line, and join God's family. And how you made that choice and what it meant. And the second point that we talked about last week was that God wants us to connect with each other. And we did a little bit of that last week with our potluck and just hanging out. And we talked about how we're going to do that more. But scripturally, Ephesians 2, 14 and 18 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by settling aside in the flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." We talked about how God doesn't have favorites. It wasn't like he favorited the Clampets over the McCoys. He loved them all. He loves us all. We're not in competition for his love. He's got a ton of bandwidth. And then the third point we talked about last week is how God wants his family presenting his values. I'll get the next slide. And we talked about the scripture, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. And it said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And verse 21 was that key piece there. In him. See, what is God's priority? That we're joined together, that we're connected, that we're rising to be like Jesus. We're rising to be holy, like what God's called us to be. Coming along and taking Jesus by the hand and walking closer to what he has called us to be. His big vision for us is to be like our big brother, Jesus. And last week, if you remember, I joked about what it would be like to be in Jesus' actual family, where Mary and Joseph were your parents. And I still laugh at that every once in a while when I think about that. Why can't you just be more like your brother Jesus? Well, Jesus didn't do that, so why do you have to do that? But God, that's God's process. He wants us to be like our brother Jesus. Jesus. See, it isn't like you do anything, but it's that you become like someone, that you become like Christ. It's nothing, we talked about it earlier in the songs, it's nothing that based on what we did, but it's all based on what he did. It's all based on what he did. And he wants us to be part of his family, the family of God. That's what he wants for us. He wants us rooted in this family foundation. That family identity where people can come into, you know, what it means to truly be part of the family of God. One of my favorite things about this group of people, this church, is how welcoming you guys are. How loving you guys are. How happy you guys are. How joyful you are. You know, when we came, you guys really welcomed us. You loved us. You made us feel valued and important. And that's important for families. To make your family feel valued and important. So the family foundation, what does that mean? Well, it means three things. Surprise, surprise. A pastor's going to say it means three things. So the first thing it means is a family foundation in Christ solves the acceptance issue. It means that you or I can say that we are loved. There's not a comma there, but if you don't do this, or if you do this, then you're not loved anymore. If you don't clean your room, Dad's not going to love you anymore. That's not how this works with God. You are loved. I'm not even going to say period. I'm going to say big exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. There's no more question of acceptance because God loves you. We don't need to answer any questions. We're loved. Can you say, look to somebody beside you, or even just say it vocally, I am loved by God. Can you say that? I'm loved by God. Now, you need to say it like you believe it. Do you believe that you're loved by God? So let's say it again, like we believe it. Thank you, Lyle. Let's say it one more time, like you really believe it. I want to hear it from the gut. I am loved by God. We need to believe it. We need to understand that there are no acceptance issues. God loves us, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Sometimes we need that understanding. Matthew 3, 16 and 17 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You see, Jesus had this special moment with his Father. He gets a special name. And Jesus gets a special love. And Jesus gets a special blessing. The thing is, that same voice, because Jesus is our brother and we're walking to be more like Jesus, comes to us. God loves us. He is pleased with us. When we're walking towards what Jesus has set out as the benchmark. Right? Or how about this? God loves us no matter what. He's pleased with us. Now we want to walk closer to God though, because then we can understand his great love for us. You see, we don't need to be... I got to be careful how I word this. We need to continually strive to be like Jesus. We need to continually push to get to know God through reading our Bible. That's for us. That's for our knowledge and wisdom to understand who he is and maybe grasp a fraction of how much he really loves us and how much he really sacrificed and how much he did for us. But the fact is he doesn't love us more or less. Do you understand that? He doesn't love us any different, but he wants us to know him. It's for us. It's for us to know him more and know his goodness. You know, you read that scripture, and as a parent, it's pretty good guidance on how to treat your kids, how to show your kids that you love them. It takes the acceptance issues out, because you have your father's or your mother's acceptance when you hear that, this is my son. I love him a lot. I am pleased with him. It takes chances like in the church where we can say, this is my brother Lyle. I love him. I'm pleased. He's doing amazing work. This is Mel, my brother. I love him because he is the Son of the Most High and he shares Jesus with people. This is my brother John. I love him because he loves Jesus. He breathes Jesus. He expels Jesus out of every breath. Do you see what it is? We can share that same love with our brothers and sisters in our church. We can share that same love with our brothers and sisters at home, with our kids. That is our family foundation, because we take that cue from what Jesus was given. He's our example. You have God's acceptance, and you can give God's acceptance out because you can share that love, that sharing, just vocalizing that. Number two is a family foundation in Christ solves our identity issue. That means I know who I am. I feel like I'm Darth Vader right now, how I'm breathing. There, we'll make that better. In Christ, you can know who you really are. Maybe I'll put a picture next week. I got to share this, sorry. So when we were in Disneyland, I have this cool picture, and Darth Vader and I are nose to nose. He's not really as tall as he looks on TV. Maybe because he's fighting Yoda, who's quite short. But we are nose to nose, and then I got a fun picture of me and Chewbacca, arms crossed, back to back. It's kind of fun. And the one lady from the hotel says that I finally found somebody more hairy in the face than I am, because she made a comment about my nose hairs, because Stacy made a comment about nose hairs. They hurt to pluck, I'll tell you that. Apparently there's a razor you can get, but that scares me too, because then I think you're going to get more. Anyways, I'm not going to keep going there. Let's focus on the message. In Christ, you can know who you really are. Why? Because you're deeply loved by God and you are accepted by Him. You don't have to chase it. You don't have to run after it. You can get it right where you are because you have God with you. Holy Spirit's in you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. He's leading you. He's prompting you. He's speaking to you. He's giving you wisdom. How many of you in the past have maybe tried to figure out who you really are? Like, trying to find out who Dave Misko really is. This is something I think the world struggles with. I think as we've become more pagan as a nation and as nations, and we've tried to disconnect from God, as you disconnect from God, that's who our identity is in. We are made in His image. If you're disconnected yourself from God, who the heck am I then? Did you ever think about that? If you're not connected with God, it's very easy to have an identity issue. Because who am I? I just happened. Just bang, and I came from sludge. But no, I'm made in His image. I'm a child of God. I am loved by Him. I am His. He's pleased with me. He's proud of me. I have no identity issues because I am a child of God. At times, Timothy struggled to know who he really was. And Paul reminded him in 1 Timothy. And we can read in 1 Timothy 6, 11, and 12. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Guys, I want to say that to you guys all. All of us need to hear that. Now, if you're a woman of God, I'm gonna do a little dash, okay? We'll do a dash. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue endurance, and pursue gentleness. Guys, fight that good fight of faith. Take hold of your eternal life, which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold of that. Fight that good fight of faith and take hold of your eternal blessings that you've been offered and given. Take hold of that. See, Timothy joined God's family. I think many of us sometimes need that same reminding that Timothy needed. Take hold of that. Man of God, take hold of that. Woman of God. How many of you sometimes need that reminder? Even when things maybe are like a little hairy and you're like, you're usually very focused on Jesus. I'm focused on God. I'm focused on the good things He's got. But sometimes you're like, oh man, again? Take hold of that eternity. How many of you are glad you're not the person you used to be at one time? Right? Praise God for that. How many of us, I'm going to ask you guys questions now, are glad that we aren't our sins? You're not your sins. What are you? You're children of God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Greet each other that way. I'm going to give you guys 2 minutes to go and introduce yourself to somebody. You know everybody. But take a minute, 2 minutes, and go introduce yourself to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm a man of God." And you can introduce yourself back. "Hi, I'm a woman of God," or "I'm a man of God." Take a minute, get up, and say it with authority like you truly, truly believe you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. Please do it. I'm asking you. You need to get this. This is important. This is important. I'm a man of God. Hey, man of God. I'm a man of God. That's awesome. Hey, man of God.
Brother, I'm a man of God.
Awesome. Guys, as you're finishing doing that, take hold of your identity as a man of God. Take hold of your identity as a woman of God and believe when you say that, when you introduce yourself. I wasn't planning on doing that at all. But I thought, you know what? When we actually say something, when we vocalize it, maybe it adds some power to our brain and has some sticking glue there. And I hope it does. I hope when things maybe go a little rough for you at times, you remember, I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. And believe it and know it. Take ownership of that identity you've been given. Remember who you are. You can go to the next one. Oh, am I there already? Sorry. Back one. Yeah, remember who you really are. You used to maybe be a person of the world, but now you're a follower of Jesus. You're secure and loved with this new identity. A new identity, a new energy, creates a new expression. You're a follower of God. Flee from that garbage, that wrong stuff. Let it go. Walk away from it. Pursue God's stuff. God has good stuff for you. Like we sang earlier, you need to say, "Yes, God, yes, God, yes, yes, God. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue your goodness, your good stuff. My identity in Christ gives me my yeses and my noes. It tells me what to love and what not to love. It tells me what to fight and what not to fight. We're told to fight that good fight of faith. So how do we do it consistently? We need to know who we are. We are followers of God. Own that identity. Followers of God. What's the truest thing about you? Can you tell me? The truest thing about any of us, truest thing about Lyle, I'm going to use Lyle because you're right there, Lyle. Sorry. What's the truest thing about Lyle? He's a man of God. Who says that, though? Right. But where did that come from? See, the truest thing, exactly, the Bible. You're right. The truest thing about Lyle, the truest thing about any of us is what God says is true. How does God speak to us? Through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. So the truest thing about us is what God says is true. Doesn't matter what I say about Lyle. Matters what God says. And what does God say about us? God says we're men and women of God. God says, I am a follower of Him. Remember who you are. Your identity will drive your energy and lead to your expression of who Christ has called you to be. Point number three. A family foundation in Christ solves this community issue. I know where I need to be to stay connected, deeply connected. We all have lives, we all have families, we all have jobs, we all have regular stuff, right? And the neat thing is, those other things give us opportunities to be connected at church. They allow us to stay connected with each other if we take advantage of that. And that's what God wants. He wants us to stay connected with each other. Here's the thing. You may think you're connected. Maybe you're just affiliated with Rosetown Community Church. Maybe you just show up once in a while and, hey, I'm here. I'm part of the church. But are you deeply connected? When we're doing something together, when we're having a potluck, when we're having a breakfast, when the, I don't know what the ladies are going to do. Movie night. Movie nights? Are we connected together? Yesterday, we did a fun thing. We went to the movies with my family. Fun way to connect with your family. You're not talking, sure, but you're sitting side by side with your hand in a bowl of popcorn. Not a big popcorn fan. I had my own bag of M&Ms. They were delicious. But if you're not deeply connected into the stuff that's going on at the church, I'm going to tell you guys something. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I'll reaffirm it. If you're not connected, deeply connected, you're missing out. When Nathan's doing Bible studies on Thursdays, if you're not here, you're missing out. If when we're doing a breakfast, you're missing out. If we're doing a potluck and you're like, oh, I feel like going for some A&W, and you're not connected, you're missing out. And that's what the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, the interconnectedness of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 20 says, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong in the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We are part of that one body. Man of God, woman of God, you're part of the one body. You're so needed. But here's the thing. If you're the hand, you don't complete the body, and you're not connected until you've connected yourself. You can disconnect yourself all you want, and the body hurts. But we need all of our parts to be a whole body. Come, get deeply connected. Our identity is based on our family. God wants you to be part of His family, fully functioning, fully aligned, fully utilized. You're designed with a purpose and intention in His body. Next one. When it comes to family, the first part was God desires to grow His family. God wants us to connect with each other. And the third thing was God wants His family presenting His values. That's what we talked about last week. This week, we talked about something different. We talked about this family foundation. We can choose to be looking from the inside or the outside in to God's family, or we can join up and be part of his family. We crossed that line, made the decision. We're a man of God. We're a woman of God. The truest thing about us is what God says is true. He wants us part of his family. We have value. We have a place. We can choose, though, to be on the outside looking in, or we can be connected to the family. Do we want to accept the foundation, the family foundation rules that God laid out for us? Do we want to accept that we're necessary, that God has a place for us in his family? He has a role for us. That's how family works. If somebody in your family wasn't there anymore, even when your kids go to school and they're not there, all of a sudden something is missing. There's a piece missing in the house. Things don't flow maybe as smooth. Why? Because everybody has a piece of that family. God wants to grow his family. We're his. We're his family. Our identity is in Christ because that's where our family now is rooted. Are you wanting to call yourself now a man or woman of God? Own that identity. Walk in that victory. We're victors, right? Not one of us should be a victim. We're victors. The battle's been won. We're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're a victorious man of God. You're a victorious woman of God. So walk in that victory. Be connected. Put on your armor and go to battle. Because he's fighting for you. So we've talked about your place. You have a place. You're part of the family of God. Own that identity of who you are. The truest thing about you is what? What Dave says is true? What God says is true? So the truest thing about you is what God says is true? Do you want to talk more about that next week? That's what we're going to talk about next week, even if you didn't want to. I just let you think you got a choice. No, next week, that's what we're going to talk about. Is the truest thing about us is what God says is true. We're going to talk about our identity. We've talked about family. We've talked about the family foundations. Now we're going to talk about us, our identity, men of God, women of God, who we are, taking up our rightful place as who God called us to be, taking ownership of who God called us to be and saying, I'm going to follow you. Yes, Lord, let's go. Are you tired of maybe feeling down once in a while? Let's feel victorious because he's fought our battles. Men of God, women of God, rise up, be who he called us to be. It's a strange way to end a sermon, but that's what I'm going to leave you with because that's what I want to ring through your head. Man of God, rise up and be who God called you to be. Who he called you to be is who you are because the truest thing about you is what God says is true, right? Woman of God, rise up and be who God called you to be because the truest thing about you is what God says is true and he's called you to be victorious. Rise up and be victorious. Would you guys pray with me? And then we're going to go out and be victorious. Father God, we thank you that you have fought our battles. Father, we thank you that we are victorious in you. God, thank you for sending Jesus to make us victors. God, we are men of God. We are women of God, and we're ready to go where you've called us to go. We're saying, yes, Lord. We're ready. So God, this week I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to hear about who you've called us to be more. God, I pray that you would give us opportunities to show that we are victorious in you. God, give us opportunities to show that we are men of God and women of God. We are yours. And God, we are thankful that when we cross that line and we joined your family, that nothing else matters because the truest thing about us is what you says is true. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for speaking victory into our lives. Thank you, God, for delivering victory to us, for bringing us life, new life. And God, thank you that we are not our sins, but we are your children. So thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for us. And thank you for rising 3 days later and defeating victory, taking back the keys to death so we don't have to fear. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name. And the men of God and the women of God said,
amen.
Amen. Believe it, live a victorious life. You're men of God and women of God. Live like it. Have a great week, guys.